Luke chapter number 11. We're going to read four verses here. This is known as the model prayer of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the prayer that, or the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples when they asked them. They said, hey, we want you to teach us how to pray. Not only was it helpful and instructive for the disciples at that time, but it's helpful for us to know that not only can you just open the Bible and read this prayer verbatim and pray this prayer to God, and that would work, but also that we can take instruction from this prayer and it can be a pattern for us in how it is that God wants us to pray to Him. Not only the way the disciples wanted us, not only the way Jesus wanted the disciples to pray, but how you and I can pray to God also. And the first thing we notice is found there in verse number 2, our prayers to God should include a praise to God. A praise to God. Look at verse number 2, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is to mean that God is holy. He is to be reverenced. He is to be honored. He is the one to be praised. Why? Because he's worthy of our praise. Him and him alone. There's nobody else that is worthy of our praise. Only him. David praised God. You see some of the things that David wrote, and David believed it to be so important to praise God that he appointed a group of men in the temple to do nothing else but to praise God in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. That's how important he thought. He thought this is very important to praise God that he appointed people to do it. And not only that, in Revelation 4:8, created beings praise God. The Bible says, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Those created beings are praising God even now. It says day and night forever, constantly praising God. He's worthy. Hallowed be thy name. And not only is it good for them, but we should praise God. Psalm 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. And it goes on to say that God is worthy of our praise. It's comely to praise God. That means that it's suitable. It's proper. If anybody should be praised, it is God. Why? Well, think about all the things that you have in your own life which have been given to you by God. Everything good that you have is from God. We can praise God for His goodness, for His mercy, for His loving kindness, for His tender mercies, for His faithfulness, for the fact that you're saved, if you are saved here tonight. You don't have to go to hell when you die because he paid the price for you and for me. You can praise him for his wonderful words, for his counsel, for his promises, and for his blessings, which, by the way, are abundant. They're abundant in my life, and I know that they're abundant in yours too. Hallowed be thy name. We praise God because he's worthy of it. Not only did it, not only was it good for the disciples to know this, but it's good for us when we go to prayer to God to praise him. All right, the second thing is there. Notice in verse number 2 also, not only should our prayers to God include a praise to God, but a submission to God's will. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, notice, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Thy will be done. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to do anything and everything that God the Father wanted him to do. And that included coming down, living a sinless life, and dying for the sins of the entire world, of you and me, of shedding his blood, even death, the death of the cross. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus Christ became obedient to God the Father. Now, even though it's one God manifested in three, Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father. In Matthew 26, 39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus Christ wanted the wrath of God, this cup, the wrath of God to pass from him, but he says, nevertheless, not thy will, but thy will be done. He says, I'm going to go through that because I want to please the Father. It was a submission to God's will. In Philippians 2:8, and being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not only was Jesus Christ obedient to God, but the Bible tells us in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. You and I need to submit our will to his will. It's not really our will, it should be his will. Lord, what do you want for me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What don't you want me to say? Where don't you want me to go? What do you want from me? And obedience to him by submission is what God desires. Not only a praise to God and a submission to God's will, but notice there in verse number 3, he says, give us day by day our daily bread, a daily request. When we pray to God, he wants us to take our request to him. For bread. Now, we live in a country where we have abundance. And we have good jobs and we make good money and we have food at our disposal at those big stores, H-E-B and Walmart. But what if there was ever a time when we didn't have that? Then we really would pray every day for bread. Well, maybe we should pray now that we do have it. So that when that time comes, we're used to it. Give us day by day our daily bread. Keep your place here because we're coming back, and I want to show you an example. Go to Exodus chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man from them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it, notice, every morning. Every man, according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. You know what this was? This was something that God was providing for them providentially. He said, I want to make sure that you're taken care of. This is all that they needed. And you know what this showed for them? A dependency and a sufficiency of God alone. That God told them, I'm going to give you manna every single day, and this is the way I want you to collect it, and don't keep it, because if you keep it, it's just going to go bad. I'm going to give you the next day some more. Some of them did their own thing, and it did bring worms. Not only was it good for them, but God wants us to rely on Him every day for that same bread also. We have it, but oftentimes we take it for granted that He's the one that is providing it. Certainly, He gives us the health and the ability to go to work and to make the money to buy that food. Those things are from God. But not only the daily request for our daily bread, which is physical, but also spiritual. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God wants us to go to this Bible on a daily basis, and He's going to give us the bread that we need, the bread that's going to keep us going. The things that come from this Bible gives you and I the direction to go on every day. Even 1, 2, 3 days missed in this word, we begin to feel like, man, what's going on here? And what He wants to do is to, for us to go to Him for that daily bread, for physical food and for spiritual food. All right, then look there in verse number 4, Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 4. The next thing we see here in verse number 4, notice, and forgive us our sins. We see a repentance and a confession of sin. This is what Jesus Christ taught the disciples. You know that our sin separates us from God. And when we're separated from God, the fellowship is affected. And what seemed to be sweet in spending time with God suddenly becomes the opposite, because we're separated from Him. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. We know also, according to Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what God was teaching the disciples and what He wants us to do is to go to Him, acknowledge our sin, repent from it, that is to turn from it, not continue in it, and confess it to Him. Well, praise the Lord, we don't have to confess it to another man, only the man, Christ Jesus. And that's a good thing. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And notice, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When that sin is cleansed from us, what happens is that sweet fellowship all of a sudden comes back. What seemed to be feel separated has now become sweet again, and has become a sweet fellowship. And all we have to do is by asking God to forgive us our sins, like it says there in verse number 4. And not only to forgive us our sins, look again there in verse number 4. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So not only do we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins, but to help us forgive also others that are indebted to us. Has anyone ever trespassed against you? Go like this for yes. Okay. Have you trespassed on somebody else? Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that those things will happen. And yet Jesus gives us an example. Go to Matthew chapter number 18. And look at verse number 21. Obviously, Jesus Christ is our example, and when he's teaching the disciples to forgive others, he's the prime example. Matthew chapter number 18, and look at verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's Jesus Christ, by the way. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called them, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Notice verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. That's what Jesus Christ did. He forgave somebody who essentially had a large debt. The person who had received that forgiveness went and found somebody who owed them just a little bit. And he wouldn't forgive them. And he wasn't as compassionate as the Lord Jesus Christ was with him. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says in teaching the disciples to pray, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, that's what he was showing them. That people are going to trespass against us, and we shouldn't be so quick to hold the grudge and to hold the bitterness and all of those things. Instead, to forgive them just like the Lord Jesus Christ did with us. I mean, the ultimate example is that he came and he died on the cross for all of our sins. He didn't keep, or he didn't say, well, I died for all of them except for this one, or for all people except for this one. It was all of them. Sometimes we forget that just like this person, how much the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us, and we fail to extend that same compassion and that same forgiveness to others. In Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are kind to others because Christ is kind to us. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So it's good to go to the Lord in prayer and bring this up also. And then lastly this, there in verse number 4, Luke chapter number 11, and verse number 4, the last thing we see here is a plead for protection from sin. Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And notice, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Who knows better the things that will trip you up more than the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows them. And he wants us to go to him in prayer and to say, Lord, you know what those things are, and I need you to protect me from those things. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Where did temptation start? The Bible says, according to James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's where it comes. So the Lord Jesus Christ knows those lusts that are in us. We need to go to him and say, Lord, I need you to take those things out of me. Don't let them get bigger than what they are. Remove those things from me. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Well, if he knows, that's why it's good that he said that this is the way that we should pray. Why? Because God makes an escape when that temptation comes. According to 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God makes a way for us to escape that temptation. So when he says pray, he knows it. And we need to acknowledge it before him. This is what it is, Lord. And I need you to help me not to go down that road. And so as we've seen, not only is this prayer a good prayer, a prayer that we can pray straight from the Bible, but also a prayer that you and I can use as a pattern in our own lives as to the way we should pray to the Lord Jesus Christ or to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what's in us. And he knoweth our frame. He knows what we can handle. And he knows the things that are before us. And so why not take it to him in prayer and do the things that we saw today? Start with praising God, submitting to God's will, going to him for a daily request, not only for physical bread, but spiritual bread. Repent and confess of our sins. Ask him to help us so that we can forgive others also. And then ask him to help us and plead for protection from sin and other things that might be in the way. Amen? Father, help us please, Lord, with the things that we heard tonight. Lord, I pray that it's a help. Not only, I believe it was a help when the Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe it's been a help to us also tonight. Help us. The next time we pray, to pray according to this example that you have left us so that we can draw closer to you. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.